I'd like to discuss today the topic of Tfilas Kelim. The story begins with a pasuk at the end of Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Matos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Bnei Yisrael that they should wage war against Midian. And they took 1,000 soldiers from each Shevet. They took 1,000 soldiers. Jewish people won the war and they captured pots and pans, trade for pots and pans. Pots and pans were made from metal, Zohov, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, Bedil, and Reifaris. Six types of metal are mentioned. Then the Torah says you have to kasher the trade for pots and pans. There are two ways of kashering. Either you do Libun or you do Hagola. If you have a broiler that you broil trade for things on, so you have to, the kosherization process has to be with Libun, you have to burn it out. And if you have a soup pot that someone cooked non-kosher soup in, so then you have to do Hagola. You have to put into burning hot water. Then the Pasuk says, however, ach, b'meinido yischato. In addition to kashering out the trade for pot, what does that mean? So there are two ways to reap shot. So the posh shot is that there were dead bodies all around here, and everybody was tamei meis, and all the kelim are tamei meis. And a person who's usually a person who is tamei has to go to the mikveh and become tahor. So you have to wait 7 days before you go to the mikveh. Fine. When you go to the mikveh, you become tahor. When a person is a tamei meis, he came in contact with a dead body, he cannot simply go to mikveh. First, you have to have paraduma water. Someone has to have shechted the paraduma and burnt it. You take the ashes, you mix a little bit of the ashes in a big container of water, and then he's a tohar al atomi. It says in the beginning of Parshas Chukah. So someone who's tohar has to sprinkle mei para onto the person or the kelim, which are tomei. Hazor shlishi and hazor shvi. Hazor shlishi means not before the third day. Let's say I went to a funeral on Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday is the third day. And then the seventh day will be, when did I go to the funeral? Let's say Sunday. So the seventh day will be Shabbos. The din is you're not midirabbanan, you're not permitted to do the Hazor Shvi on Shabbos. So you have to postpone everything. So let's say if I went to a funeral on Sunday, you cannot do the first Hazor on Tuesday and the second Hazor on Shabbos. You have to do the first Hazor. I can start the Hazor process 20 years later. You can't begin the Hazor process before Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So let's say if I went to a funeral on Ram from the Chevra Kaddish, I didn't go to the funeral. I was in the same room with a dead body. I became a Tamei Meis. So you have to have the Hazor Shlishi Shvi, not before Wednesday. So you do the first Hazor on Wednesday and the second Hazor you do on Sunday. That'll be Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So that's perhaps the simple translation of the Pasuk. Ach, however, the Meinido Yischatov, Meinido means Mei Ado Yuso. That's how the Targum Onkelos says. Water that's sprinkled, someone should sprinkle the water from the Paraduma water on the Kelim, that are Tamei, and the Kelim will become Tahar. You have two problems here. Number one, the Kelim are Treif, because the non-Jews cook, the soldiers in the Midian army cook their non-kosher food in the pots and pans. So the Jewish army wants to use these Treif for Kelim, they have to kasher it. Number two, this was at a time that they were careful about Tumah V'Tahara. So if you want to be Metairit, so you cannot simply be Tovelet in the mikveh. You have to first do Hazor Shlishi Shvi, and then you'll be able to be Tovelet in the mikveh. Perhaps that's the Pasha Shat. Ach, the Meinido Yischato, you should be... That's how Rashi says, Lefi Pshuto, the simple Pshat, and the Pasuk is that this is for the purpose of Letahara Mitumas Meis, that you need Hazor Shlishi Shvi. Then Rashi adds up, Rabbeinu Dorshin Mikan, and the Gemara in the last Mishnah, Maseches Avodah Zarah, speaks about kashering treif for kelim, and the Mishnah also talks about the mitzvah tfilas kelim. Why is this discussed in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah? Because in the last two prokim in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah is talking about treif for wine. Wine that was manufactured by a non-Jew is treif midirabbanan. If you have wine that was poured on the mizbeach for the purposes of Avodah Zarah, then it's the yayin shenisnasech l'Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam holds that's an isa deraisa. But some wine that was manufactured by a non-Jew, that's an Issa Derabon, that's called Stam Yenam. So the Mishnah is saying, it's also B'shtiyon, it's also B'hanor, it gives you all the details. So then it says in the Mishnah, is what if you have barrels which were used to contain the non-kosher wine, and then you pour out the non-kosher wine, you want to use the same barrels to put kosher wine in it. So the Mishnah discusses the kosherization process. How do you kosher out the treif of barrels? Then the Mishnah discusses, what's the din if you buy secondhand pots and pans? From a non-Jew, you have to kasher the pots and pans, sometimes with libun, sometimes with hagola, and then it says, the meinido yischato, you have to be toivel all of these kelim in a mikveh. So how do you translate the words b'mei nida? The simple pshat lefi pshuta Rashi says is the way the Targum Onkelos comments. B'mei ado yusa, water that you sprinkle, because you do hazah shlishi shvi. So that's the translation of the words mei nida. Nida means to sprinkle. But according to the Rabbi Seinadosh, according to the additional level of interpretation, so how do you translate b'mei nida? So the one, the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah understands b'mayim shahanida toveles b'hem. You have to be toivel the kelim in the same type of a mikveh that a woman who is a nida would be toivel in. What's the significance? Why do you have to compare the kelim to the tvil of a nida? So Tosis explains on that daf. This Tosis is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That the Gemara says in Maseches Nedor in Nazir, Maseches Nazir, it all be there are two types of mikveh. There's a mikveh for a person that has to have a minimum of 40 so'ah. That's in order that the you can't be toivel a leg at a time and an arm at a time and toivel your head. You have to be toivel the whole body. You have to submerge the whole body under the water of the mikveh at one time. And the Mishnah says v'shira chachamim, and the rabbis estimated that for that, to accomplish that purpose, you need 40 so'ah. 40 so'ah, the Gemara tells us, is amma alama barum gimel amas, 3 cubic amas. An amma by an amma, and the depth is 3 amas deep. So that's only necessary, the Gemara says, for tefillah sodom. If you have a kli that's tummy, let's say you have a needle that became tummy, have a pair of scissors that's tummy, a fork or a knife that's tummy, any kli. So min ha-Torah, if it's tummy, I want to be metired by being toiveled in a mikveh, it's sufficient with a revius of water. Revius is the amount of water that you have in a becher to make kiddush. Revius is the volume of an egg and a half. Beitz amatz is very little. If it's such a big pair of scissors, it's such a big pot that it can't fit into Revius, you need more, but you don't need Arboim Soh. The Gemara says, in Midi Rabbanan, they abolished this kula. The Chachamim did away with that din of Revius for Tvilas Kelim Tmeim, and they said, you always need Arboim Soh. Whether for Tvilas Adam who's Tami, or for Tvilas Kelim that are Tami, you always need Arboim Soh. So the Tesis comments on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, according to the additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, the Rashi calls Rabbi Sena Dorshe Mikan that you have to be toivel all of the tray for pots and pans in a mikveh. Why do they compare to main nida maim shahanida tovelas b'hem? So what the pasuk means to say is that here, even though they're pots and pans, and if you would be interested in being toivel them to remove the tumah, would have been sufficient with a smaller mikveh of a revius min hatorah. You would need aboyim sa. But here, that's not the purpose. The purpose of being toivel the pots and pans is not to remove any tumah. It's a different than whenever you buy pots and pans or forks and knife or plates or cups from a non-Jew that have to do it, and you use it for eating food or for cooking food, then the din requires that you have to have tefillah kelim. So this is not a tefillah for the purpose of removing tumah. Today everybody's tummy anyway. All our pots and pans are tummy anyway. This is a different kind of tefillah. What is the nature of the tefillah? So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quote from the Sefer Issa V'Heter. This is the Issa V'Heter. This is a tiny size Issa V'Heter. The Issa V'Heter is quoted every single page on Yerideya. Everything Yerideya is based on, to some extent or another. We don't always agree with the Issa V'Heter, but everything in Yerideya, every page practically, not practically, every single page in Yerideya, they quote the Issa V'Heter about something or another. The Issa V'Heter was written by Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. Here in the first page, they made a mistake. They wrote it's written by Rabbeinu Yonah Girundi. Rabbeinu Yonah Girundi was a Sfardi who lived in Granada. He was a Mechutna of the Ramban. That's a different Rabbeinu Yonah. This was written by Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. That's why he always quotes from the Bali Ataisus. It's from the early Achrayim, late Rishonim. It's a generation or two before the days of the Maharil in Germany. So the Rabbeinu Yonah is quoted here in Simon Kufchov. All the laws of Tfilas Kelim appear in the beginning of the second volume, Yeridei Simen Kufkof. If you buy metal pots and pans, or you buy forks and knives, or you buy plates from a non-Jew, even if they're not treif, if they're treif, you have to kasher them, and then you toivel them in a mikveh. And even if they're not treif, they're brand new, they were never used at all, the Gemara points out, the din still requires you have to be toivel everything in a mikveh. And the purpose of the mikveh is not to remove the tumah. Everybody's tummy today anyway. All of our pots and pans are tummy anyway. The purpose of the tefillah is something like gerus. It's akin to gerus. Like if a non-Jew wants to become Jewish, so the conversion process requires that the person should be toivel on a mikveh. So here we buy pots and pans, which we're going to use for preparing food or eating food. So the din requires we have to convert the pots and pans. We shouldn't eat if they ever belong to a non-Jew. If it never belonged to a non-Jew, So then it does need tefillah kehem. If the pots and pans once belonged to a non-Jew, then the din requires that you have to have tefillah kehem, and this tefillah is a form of gerus. There are different types of tefillah. The regular din of tefillah, when a person is tameh or a kli is tameh, so the tefillah in the mikvah is in order to remove tumah. Then you have another din where you're adding kedusha to the person. Let's say a non-Jew wants to convert. So the din requires man or woman, they have to go to the mikveh in order to be given Kedushas Yisrael. Let's say when the Kohanim were chosen and they were granted Kedushas Kehuna, so it says in Chumash that they all went to the mikveh. When the Levim were singled out and they were given Kedushas Leviyah, so it says in the Chumash that they all had to go to the mikveh. When a Kohen puts on Bigdei Kehuna in the Beis HaMikdosh, and then the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, is mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it talks about the Bigdei Kehuna. So it says in the Pasuk, it implies Bizman Shibigdayim Aleim Kunasim Aleim, Ein Bigdayim Aleim Ein Kunasim Aleim. When a Kohen is outfitted with the Bigdei Kehuna in the Beis HaMikdash, he has a higher level of Kedushas Kehuna. Usually there's a Kedushas Kehuna Shibigvulin. A Kohen is not allowed to go to a funeral. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. A Kohen can do Pidyon HaBen. He doesn't have to wear Bigdei Kehuna for that. But there's a higher level of Kedushas Kehuna that's called Kedushas Kehuna Shebar Mikdosh. If he's wearing Bigdei Kehuna, then he has this higher level of Kedusha and is able to be Makriv Korbanos as well. So when a Kohen is about to put on Bigdei Kehuna, you don't tell him to first put on Bigdei Kehuna then be Tovel in the Mikveh. He's going to get his clothing all wet. So you tell him he should be Tovel in the Mikveh and then put on the Bigdei Kehuna, so the Tefillah in the Mikveh every day when a Kohen puts on Bigdei Kehuna. So he gets an additional level of Kedushas Kehuna Shebar Mikdosh. The halacha requires he has to go to the mikveh. And then there's a third din. If a woman is in need, she's asur l'baila, so being going to the mikveh will be mata the isha l'baila. It's unrelated to the din that a nida is tmeyo. That's one. There are two unrelated din. There's one din that a woman who's in need is an av hatuma when she goes to the mikveh and she becomes tahira. Then there's another unrelated din that a woman who's in need is asur l'baila when she goes to the mikveh she becomes mataris l'baila if it's under the right conditions. So here, the Issa the Heter is quoted here in Yerodeh Semekuf Chav as pointing out that this din over here, B'mei Nida Yizchato Tvilas Kelem, is in order to endow the Klei Hasuda with Kedushas Yisrael. Since it belonged to a non-Jew before, and now a Jew wants to owns it, if it still belongs to the non-Jew, let's say I'm eating at the home of a non-Jew, I'm going to use his forks and knives. Everything I'm eating is cold, so nothing is going to become trade. So then you don't need any tefillas kelim, and it's not going to help. It still belongs to the non-Jew. But if the kli once belonged to the non-Jew, and now I buy it, so then there's a din, you have to convert it. You have to be megayrit. So that's why this tefillah and a mikvah is different from tefillah to remove tumah. Tefillah to remove tumah in HaTorah was enough with the revius of water, or a mikvah that's large enough for the kli to be submerged at one time. And this din of tefillas kelim, klei suda, that you're going to use for cooking food or for eating food, so here the din min HaTorah requires that you have arboim stone. That's the way Tosfos understood this din. Tosfos understands that this is a real din d'oraisa. That's the way it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch, that this additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, Rav Zena Dorshin Mikan, that's how Rashi writes on Chumash, and Parshas Matos, this is a din d'oraisa. Not everybody seems to agree. You look in the Rambam, you get the impression as if the Rambam says that this is only an asmachta, the minida yischat amayim shanida tavelas behem, that the whole institution of Tefillas Kelim is only Midirabbanan. The Ramban's opinion, there are contradictions. The Ramban al HaTorah sounds like he says that the whole Tefillas Kelim is only Midirabbanan, and then Talmidei HaRamban quote in his name that not so. The Ramban thought that it's a din min HaTorah. So it's questionable. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that Tefillas Kelim on metal Kelim is deraisa, because the Pasuk speaks in Pasuk Chav Beis in chapter Laman Aleph, the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Matos. The Pasuk is speaking about Zov, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, Bedil, and Ophoris. The Pasuk speaks about the six different metals. So by Kli Matechas, we assume that Tefillas Kelim is needed min HaTorah. The Gemara on the last daf in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, when they discuss all the dinim of kashering the tray for Kelim and being Tovel the Klei Hasud in a mikveh, so the Gemara sounds like it says that min HaTorah you only need Tefillas Kelim on metal, and it's only Midirabbanan that they instituted the requirement for Tefillas Kelim on glass Kelim, on glasses or glass plates and so on. Some Achrayim, the Darki Tshuva, on Yerodei Simekuf Chav, quotes a group of Achrayim who think that it's not so. Tefillas Kelim is needed min HaTorah even by glass Kelim. So that's not the generally accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is, you look at the Piskei Tshuva here, the accepted opinion that Tfilas Kelim on metal Kelim is needed min HaTorah, and Tfilas Kelim on glass Kelim is only midrabbanim. It's interesting, in the Shnayis Kelim, they discuss at length which Kelim are Mekabel Tumah under which circumstances, which Kelim are not Mekabel Tumah. So there's a machlokes between the Vilna Goyen, it's a little strange, machlokes between the Vilna Goyen and the Tveris Yisrael HaMishnayis. So the Tveris Yisrael quotes from the Vilna Goyen that it would have, as a comment written by the students of the Vilna Goyen, commentary on Mishnayis Kelim, he seems to have understood that only the four metal, only the six metals mentioned in the Chumash are Mekabel Tumah. The Rav Kmina will be, let's say, aluminum. In the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have aluminum, because aluminum always comes together with iron. So in recent years, they discovered how to separate the iron from the aluminum, and it's a different metal. Airplanes are made from aluminum. A lot of pots and pans are made from aluminum. So the shaila is, what if you have an aluminum pot? Is that mekabel tumah min HaTorah? So the Vilna Goyen claims no. He says only the six metals, if you have a clean made from one of these six metals, Zov, Kesem, Nechoshes, Barzel, Bedil, and Oifaris, any other metal is not Mekabel Tumah min HaTorah. And the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis quotes this in the name of the Vilna Goyen. He doesn't think that it's correct. He thinks that the Chumash just gave six examples on metal. Who are the Nami, any other metal? If today they realize that aluminum is a separate metal, and you make aluminum pots and pans, so you would, they would be Mekabel Tumah min HaTorah, and there would be a mitzvah Tfilas Kelim on that as well. But Moshe Feinstein raised this issue. Moshe Feinstein doesn't quote the Vilna Goyen, and he doesn't quote the Tiferes Yisrael. Mishnayis on his own, he writes like that. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky also on their own, they both came up with the same idea as the Vilna Goyen, that aluminum should not be Mekabel Tumah min HaTorah, and maybe by aluminum there's no need for Tfilas Kelim min HaTorah. Maybe there's no need for Tfilas Kelim even with the Rabban, because in the days of the Tanaim they didn't know how to separate aluminum from iron. And they didn't have any aluminum kelim. So true, they made a takonim with the rabbanon that you need tefilas kelim on glass kelim, because glass is in a certain sense similar to metal. But since they didn't have aluminum, so they never made a takonim with the rabbanon on aluminum. So nish is nish. There's no takonim. That's a shalom. What about plastic kelim? Do you need tefilas kelim? Let's say you have wooden kelim, wooden forks and knives. So you have paper plates. The wooden kelim do not need tefilas kelim. Wooden kelim on the kabel tumah, mishnayis like that. A wooden kli is mekabel tumah, and if it's tumah, you want to be metayret, you toivel it in a mikveh. But the mitzvah tefilas kelim doesn't apply to wooden or paper cups. Yeah, that's for sure. Now, the shadow, what about plastic? So should I assume that the two types of plastic? People in the field will be able to tell you which plastic is which. There are plastic kelim. The Gemara says that the reason why the Chachamim required tefilas kelim in the Rabbanon by glass kelim is because glass is similar to metal in the sense that if the glass cracks, so you can melt it again in the fire and correct it, and you can fix it. So there are different types of plastic kelim. Some of them, if you probably saw at home, sometimes your mother will leave a plastic container too close to the fire, and the whole thing is going to melt out of shape. So that type of plastic material, if you'll develop a hole in that plastic thing, you'll be able to fix it. If you know what you're doing, you can hold it close to the fire. You melt a little bit of plastic, and then it'll block up the hole. Then there's another kind of plastic that if it'll develop a hole in it, and you hold it by the fire, just get harder and harder. It's not going to melt away. The people in the field can tell you which plastic is which. So there was a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, the Minchas Yitzchok. He wrote many volumes of Shas and Shuvas. He was on the Eidah Haredes. So he wrote in his Shuvas, he thinks that plastic material, that if it develops a hole, you can fix it, you can melt it a little bit and block up the hole. He thinks that just like in the Rabbanon, the Gemara says they instituted the requirement for Tfilas Kelim on glasses, because if it breaks or if it develops a hole, you can melt it all over again and fix it again. So he thinks that type of plastic would need Tfilas Kelim in the Rabbanon. And the overwhelming majority of the Poskim do not agree. The overwhelming majority of the Poskim hold that plastic didn't exist in the days of the Gemara, and the Tanoim and Amoraim didn't have plastic that they should make a takana derabanan on it. They only made a takana on glass and goodbye. That's all. And maybe if they would have had plastic, they would have made a takana plastic. They didn't have plastic, so they never made a takana. So you're not mechuyev to extend the takana derabanan. That's the generally accepted opinion. Rav Avadya Yosef, always quotes all the sources whenever he writes a tshuva. So he writes regarding the plastic, so he quotes, he shakes out a long list of sources, everyone who talks about plastic, and he says, the maskana, you don't have to have tefillah skin. So the Minchas Yitzchak complains. He quoted among the sources my sefer, and he didn't say that I disagree with him. He thinks that on some plastic you do need tefillah skin. So in a later edition, in a later volume of Rav Avadya Yosef, he says, okay, good for you. You say that, glad, and I don't agree. Okay. He thinks that plastic does not need tefillah skin. That's usually assumed. That plastic does not need tefillah skin. The din only applies, the Gemara says, what about a person buys a suit that he's going to wear, clothing? So the Gemara says on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, this din only applies to kelim that you use for eating purposes. It doesn't apply to other kelim. Let's say you buy a pair of scissors that's a miyuchat for cutting cloth. So that if you have a pair of scissors that's miyuchat for cutting chickens or miyuchat for cutting meat, so then you have to have tefillah kelim on that. But if you have a pair of scissors that's used for cutting paper, used for cutting cloth, for that you don't need tefillah kelim. There's an interesting discussion. There was a Chassidish Rebbe who died 100 years ago, the Abdi Nezer, the Sochat Shavah Rebbe. So he said Chassidus also. But he's more known for his Shanas and Shuvas and his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, the Egel Eital. He had a son who was a Chassidish Rebbe who was more known for his Chassidus. The son wrote the Shem Yishmur. Every Thursday night, one of the Rebbe's in Yeshiva gives a shir on the Shem Yishmur. So that's usually Chassidus. At one place, every so often the Shem Yishmur will quote something from his father. So people have more respect for the father than for the son. So the Shem Yishmur quotes in the name of his father that if a non-Jew converts, he doesn't have to do tefillah kelim on his pots and pans. Why not? The pots and pans used to belong to a non-Jew, him, and he just converted. So now the pots and pans belong to a Jew. So he says his father, the Avni Nezer, said that the Gershon Isgar doesn't have to perform tefillah kelim on his pots and pans. Comes up every often. Every so often there are non-Jews who convert. Every day there's another non-Jew who's converted. So the question is, does he have to do tefillah kelim? So the Avni Nezer says no, that when the person went to the mikveh, so he converted. So the tefillah of the person covers the kelim. What is that all about? And he quotes a Mishnah in the end of Beitzah, which has nothing to do with anything, but it has a melitza. It sounds like the habeim v'akelim kiragle habalim, that the pots and pans that belong to the person have the same tchum as the person. It's not talking about tefillah kelim. So that's what the Avni Nezer says. So people don't really understand what this means. Sounds like something al derech hachasidus. So the poskim Dayan Grosnas, he used to be a Dayan in London. He passed away really a long time ago. He retired to Eretz Yisrael, and then he passed away. Then his Chuvis, and the Chuvis Leiv Aryeh, he quotes this from the Shem Yishmur in the name of the Avni Nezer. He says, we don't really understand what this means. So he says, we are Tovel. We would recommend the Ger, Shenizgar should be Tovel, his pots and pans. But out of respect for the Avni Nezer, he says, you don't have to, so we leave out the bracha. Usually when you buy pots and pans from a non-Jew, whether it's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, the din requires you have to recite a bracha. Kol ha-mitzvahs kulam b'varach aleihem moed v'lasi asam. As you are about to perform a mitzvah, you always have to recite a bracha. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have the bracha, Shikur Hashanah b'mitzvahs v'tzivano, al tefilas kli. If you have more than one keli, so then the meaning is you say al tefilas kelim. You say it in the plural. So if it's a gershon is gayer, so Dain Grosna suggests maybe out of respect for the Avni Nezer, we should leave out the bracha. He thinks that you don't have to be tov a little. So shvera shi. Then again, the din only applies to klei seuda. That's how the Gemara says. On the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the machlokes. What about sakan shel shchita? That's in Siman Kuf Chav Sif Hey. When you have a knife that's miyuch, especially for shechting a behema, so without the shchita, you're not allowed to eat the meat. So in a certain sense, that sakan shel shchita prepares the flesh and makes it royal achila. Yeah, but it's so far in advance of the final product. You don't have the shechet shech the behema, someone take a piece of raw meat. Then you have to salt the meat, get out the blood, then you have to cook the meat, and then you begin to eat the meat. So the sakan shel shchita, the act of shchita, is so far removed, it's so far in advance of the final product, that that's why there's a machlokes harishonim, whether you have to do tefillas kelim on such an instrument. So the Ramah says the minig is that we do tefillas kelim without a bracha. So that's the minig. Whenever you have something that's very far removed from the final product, so then we would, if it's even further than that, then you don't need tefillas kelim at all. But if it's about the same as the Sakon Shal Shchita, so we would require Tefillah Skelim without a bracha. And if it's closer to the final product, then we would require Tefillah Skelim with a bracha. In the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about Kli Cheres. If you have china dishes, Kli Cheres do not need Tefillah Skelim at all. Just like wooden, a paper, a plastic cups or plates do not need Tefillah Skelim. So Kli Cheres do not need Tefillah Skelim. What if you have a Kli Cheres, an earthenware vessel that's Mitzupe B'Mateches, it's coated, the main part of the Kli is china, but it's coated on top and on the bottom with a metal. So then we do require Tefillah Skelim with a bracha. What if it's coated on top and on the bottom with glass? That's usually our china dishes. They're glazed on top and on bottom with glass. So there are different types of glazed china. So sometimes, if your mother ever went to ceramics, so they have a china dish, and then they paint the design on it, and then they want to protect the design so that when you cut with your fork and a knife, you don't scratch off the paint. So they'll spray a little bit of glass on top. The glass is going to be the thickness of a hundredth of an inch or less. It's a very, very slight amount of glass. Either they'll spray it on, or they'll paint it on with a small paintbrush. So it's a very thin layer. So that, we assume you don't need Tefillah Skelim, that for sure not. That's not really, the glass doesn't really make the Kli any thicker than it was before. It's a mashahu thicker, a hundredth of an inch on this side, a hundredth of an inch on the other side, doesn't affect the thickness of the Kli. The only question is, what if you have a china dish and it has a thickness of glass? You pour a lot of glass on one side, pour a lot of glass on the other side. A lot of times when someone gets engaged, so there's a meaning that you break a plate. So they usually break a china dish. Under the chuppah, the meaning is that you break a glass kli, and by the engagement, by the time, the meaning is that you break a china dish. So a lot of times you look at the thickness of the china dish after you break it, so you'll see a big percentage, more than 50% of the thickness of the china dish is the glass on the outside and on the inside. Not stam mashu de mashu, a hundredth of an inch. So that's a question whether in such a case you have to have Tefillah Skelim. So the Shach quotes from the Issa V'Heter that yes, that not only if it's Mitzupe B'Mateches, Mateches needs Tefillah Skelim and Atoros. Chuchas only need Tefillah Skelim and the Rabbanon. So the question is, if you have a Kli Cheres, which is Mitzupe B'Mateches, okay, so Mateches needs Tefillah Skelim and Atoros. So you have to be Tovele with a bracha. What if it's a Kli Cheres, which is only Mitzupe B'Schuchas? So the whole Schuchas is only the Rabbanon. So, and here the basic Kli itself is Matecha, so that's a question. So the Shach quotes the Issa V'Heter that even Mitzupe B'Schuchas, even china dishes, you also have to be Toivel. That's many have the practice, many Balabatim have the practice that the Toivel china dishes, which are Mitzupe B'Schuchas. Rav Moshe Feinstein and his? I think the Toivel without a bracha, because they recognize that there are others who disagree. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Chuvis assumes that Dabar Pashut that you never Toivel china dishes, even though Mitzupe with schuchas, but a lot of schuchas. He had the practice not to be tevel. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice also. He was not tevel them. And they printed, after Rabbi Gifter passed away, they printed that. That was his practice. Many Gedolim had such a practice. That's against the Shach. So they're different in Hagim as far as that's concerned. What if you have china dishes, which are glazed on the inside and the outside with a lot of glass? Not done with a mashu of glass. It has a lot of glass on the outside. The way the Chumash describes the kosherization process in Parshas Matos, it's talking about if you have, they took from the Midyanim soldiers, they took from the army, tray for pots and pans and forks and knives. So it says first they kasher them, and after they kasher them, then they would table them in the mikveh, according to this additional level of interpretation. So the Tosis on the last daf in Avodah Zarah has a machlekes harishayim is the seder mi'akev. What if instead of first kashering and then being toivel, what if I'll be toivel the kli and it's still treif because it has a treif of bli and then I'll kasher it? Is that acceptable? So some of the rishayim say that that's not acceptable because that's a toivel the sheretz biyadai. Toivel the sheretz biyadai means a different thing. A person became tummy because he picked up a dead mouse and he's still holding on. A dead mouse is a sheretz. Achbar is one of the Shemana Shvatzim Hamurim HaTorah. Torah singles out 8 rodents that are metame if you touch them, if you hold on to them when they're dead. Well, it's alive, it's not metame, but after it's dead, it's metame. So the Gemara has such an expression. If a person became tame because he's holding on to a dead mouse, and he goes into the mikveh, he's still holding on to the dead mouse. So even after he comes out of the mikveh, he's still holding on to the dead mouse. So of course it doesn't help to be matari. He's still holding on to the mouse, he's matari him now. But over here, it's very questionable whether that expression applies over here. What do you mean? Because the pots and pans are treif. So therefore, he's toivolem in a mikveh to be megayer them and the treif. So you can have, let's say a person has pots and pans at home, everything is fine. Then by accident, it becomes treif. So he kashes it. There's no din, he has to be toivol. What's the connection between kashering a treif a kli? Being toivol a kli that you bought, kli suda that you bought from a non-Jew. Why should there be such a seder? So Tosfos has two opinions. So one opinion is that if you were toivol a treif a kli, it's toivol the sheres biyada. We would insist you have to be toivol it again. So lechatchila, that's what we're machmer for. First, you have to kasher the treif a kli. If you do hagolo a libun, and then you toivel it in the mikveh. If you would toivel it first, and then you kashered it, and then you should be toivel it again without a brach. Okay. That's a chumrah. What if, let's say, a person cooked food in a pot, he has a kosher pot, but he was never toivel, the pots in the pan, he was never toivel. So does the food become usr? That's also machlokes of Rishonim. So Tosfos on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, everything is on one daf gemar. Tosfos on the left daf doesn't quote the machlekes. They only write that it certainly does not make the food awesome. Just because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah tefilas kelim does not have a negative effect on the food. There is an opinion in Rishonim otherwise, but that's not the accepted opinion. We paskin that it does not make the pot treif. The Darkei Tshuva is a commentary on Yerideya. The Pischei Tshuva is printed on the bottom of the page. So the Pischei Tshuva gives you a likut of all of the Achrayim until his time. The Darkei Tshuva was composed in the 1900s. Pischei Tshuva was composed probably 60 years early, in the 1800s. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes more. The Darkei Tshuva was written by the Munkacher. He was a Hungarian. He had all yeshiva, and he divided the whole Shulchan Aruch among all the students, and he had each student work to find as many marmakayims as possible on every page in the Yerideya. So it was a work that was done by a lot of students. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes a lot of Hungarian Achrayim, quotes a lot of Galician Achrayim. He quotes Achrayim and point out, let's say a lot of times you have a cookie dish and you don't serve cookies by putting them directly on the dish. First you put napkins or doilies, paper doilies and paper napkins on the cookie tray, and then you put the cookies on so the paper should absorb some of the oil of the cookies. Instead of having the cookies resting directly on top of the glass tray or the glass dish. So the Darkei Tshuva says, just because the food is not sitting directly on top of the plate, doesn't mean that you don't have to be toivel a kli. Basically, this kli is holding up the cookies. If you have, let's say, a kli that's miyuchet for holding another kli, let's say you have a tripod, the Shulchan Aruch has this. Let's say you have a tripod, and I have a fire on the bottom, and I put a pot on top of the tripod, and I have the fire on the bottom, and I'm cooking the pot. So the tripod does not require tefilas kelim. That's not a kli that holds food. The pot needs tefilas kelim. The tripod is a kli that holds another kli. But if you have cookies and you have a doily, and then you have the glass plate on the bottom, it's not that the doily is another kli. It's not that the doily is holding the cookies and the glass dish is holding the doily. No, the doily is not, or the paper napkin is not a kli. It's just to absorb the oil, but basically the glass on the bottom is holding the cookie, so you would need tefilas kelim. Yeah, what? Let's say if you have a candy jar or you have a cookie bin, and then you have a lid on top. So do you require tefilas kelim for the lid? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it depends what the nature of the kli is. If you have a soup pot, when you cook the soup, so you need a lid on top so that when the soup is burning hot and it starts to turn into steam and evaporates, instead of flying out into the air and disappearing, you want the lid to cause it to fall back into the pot. Otherwise, all the soup will evaporate. So it's considered as if the lid is also containing the food. The lid causes the evaporated soup to fall back into the pot. So the lid of a soup pot would need tefilas kelim. But if you have a cookie jar, or you have, let's say, a candy dish, and it has a lid, so the purpose of the lid is only to hold to prevent the dust from falling in. It doesn't really contain the cookies. The cookies are not dropping out of the lid. The lid doesn't prevent the cookies from flying out of the air. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that the lid of a cookie jar, the lid of a candy jar, doesn't require tefilas kelim. Only the lid of a soup pot would need tefilas kelim. the din of tefilas kelim only applies if it once belonged to a non-Jew in the form of a kli. The non-Jew owned these forks and the knives, and then the Jew owns it now. If it still belongs to the non-Jew, or there's a shutfis between a Jew and a non-Jew, then there's no mitzvah tefilas kelim. As the Issa the Heter wrote, it's a form of gerus, so you can only begin to be megarde the pots and pans if it no longer belongs to a non-Jew. It still is in the shutfis of a non-Jew. You don't begin to have this mitzvah tefilas kelim. What if a person gets stuck on Shabbos? He goes away for Shabbos and just bought forks and knives, and he has no mikveh, he has no place. Are you permitted to be tovel kelim on Shabbos? So the Mishnah Maseches Beitza that lists off all the things that you're not allowed to do mid the Rabbanon on Yontav v'Kalvachayim, but b'Shabbos you're not allowed to do. So it says in the Mishnah that if you have kelim that are tomei, if you have pots and pans or forks and knives that are tomei, you want to be tovel over the mikveh. To remove the tumah, so that's forbidden mid the Rabbanon. The Gemara has different reasons, and the basic reason, the Gemara has four reasons why it's also. The most popular reason is because it's mesakin mana. On the level of the raisa, mesakin mana is you have your broken chair, you have a broken knife, and you straighten it out, and now it's useful. This is mesakin mana mid the Rabbanon. On the level, you're not allowed to use the forks and the knives. So if you table them, let's say the forks and the knives are tumah, you'll be tovel, and now they'll be tohar. So that's considered a tikkun mana mid the Rabbanon. So there's a machlokes harishonim how to read that Mishnah. So the Magen Mishnah has a discussion. Magen Mishnah in his commentary on the side of the Rambam has this discussion. What if I'm being tovel a kelim not to remove the tumah, but just to be allowed to use the forks and the knives because of this mitzvah of tefilas kelim on clay suda? Is that forbidden? Is that also called mesakin mana? Because now that I was tovelin in the mikvah, I'm able to use it to eat the food. Or do you say, no, I did a mitzvah. To perform a mitzvah is not an Easter of mesakin mana. So that's a question. So we usually avoid that. So what do you do if you get stuck on Shabbos? You have the forks and the knives and you would never table them. And you know that it once belonged to an non-Jew and now they belong to you. And you're not allowed to be tovelin on Shabbos. Or let's say you don't have access to a mikvah. You can't even be tovelin on Shabbos, even if you'd like to. So what do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you got stuck, so then the solution will be to be mafke the forks and the knives. The only time there's a mitzvah tefilas kelim is if it belongs to a Jew. Let's say I'll give it to a non-Jew quickly before Shabbos. I'll give the forks and the knives to a non-Jew and I tell him I want you to acquire ownership of the forks and the knives. Once it belongs to a non-Jew, so there's no longer a mitzvah to be tevel a kelim. Or if there's no non-Jew to give it to, so you can be mafke the kelim. So there were people who would never tevel their kelim. They were always mafke their kelim. Yeah, if someone would walk into the house and want to walk up with their pots and pans, they wouldn't be so thrilled. They would say, what are you doing? What are you stealing my pots and pans? They wouldn't say we were mafke it. You have a right to take it. So this is not really right. This Eitzah is only recommended in the Shulchan Aruch. In Shochach, that's the last Sif. Sif Tezayin and Simen Kuf Kof. If it's late there of Shabbos and the person has no ability to be tevel a kelim, so then we say you have no choice and then you should give it to a goy or you should be mafke the kelim. But when you have an opportunity to be tevel kelim, it's not right to rely on that help. There is a problem that was discussed by the recent poskim. Let's say I go to the store and I buy tuna fish in a can, or I buy tomato juice in a can. So this is a metal kli and it's holding food. So whenever I buy tuna fish, I have to come home, open up the tuna fish can, empty out the product, and then be toibul a can. Because I'm using the can without tefilas kelim. So we never heard anybody do that. So why not? So this Rida Yesh has a tshuva. I think it was sent to Rabbi Gifta. Rabbi Gifta always loved to correspond with everybody in the world. So he corresponded with this. Rida Yesh was a... Tzviyesh was Rabbi Weinberg. He learned in Slabodka, and then he was invited to come to Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin to give the top shir. And then he went through the war, and after the war he lived in Switzerland. Most of his tshuvas were written before the war. So the four volumes of tshuvas that we have left by him are what was left after the war. Tzviyesh, that was left after the Shoah. So he has So you have this tshuva. This tshuva was written after the war. As a tshuva, that's considered hishtamshes b'shevi al tasa. The only time you need tefilas kelim is if I'm going to take a glass and pour in orange juice and drink from the glass. I'm going to take a pot and I'm going to cook food in the pot. I'm going to use a fork and a knife to eat some food. I'm going to use a plate that I was never table, a metal plate or a glass plate. That's a hishtamshes bekumbi asay. But when I buy the metal cans from the store, I buy jars that have orange juice in them, and the jars are made from glass, or the forks and the knives are made from metal. So that hishtamshes is b'shevi al tasa. The company really, the company shouldn't, if it's a religious man who owns a company, so that's taka questionable. He shouldn't buy glass or metal containers from a non-Jew and then fill them up with food without being table the kelim in advance. So that, because that's a hishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh. But that's a hishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh. But when I buy a bottle of wine, so the wine is sitting in the bottle already. So I didn't put the, if I'm going to drink directly from the bottle, that's hishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh. But just having the wine continue to sit in the bottle, that is tamshus for the food purposes, b'shei b'altasas, and for that you don't need tefillah skin. So let's say I have a bottle of wine and I pour out a little bit of wine and I make kiddush with the wine and the rest of the wine I leave. So the leaving the rest of the wine in the bottle, that's also tamshus b'shei b'altasas. Once I'll empty out the whole bottle of wine, and then I want to reuse the bottle, so that's already hishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh. So then if you want to reuse the bottle, then you would have to be tefillah. I'll be pashtus, and you would have to be toivel it. They sell aluminum foil pans in the store that became very popular in recent years. So aluminum is a metal. So that's a question whether aluminum needs tefillah scale. So if one should assume that aluminum, even though it's not one of the six metals that are mentioned in the Chumash, one should assume that aluminum is the same as metal and it needs tefillah kelim. So what about these aluminum pans that are really, in America, they're really intended for a one-time use? You're going to bake a kugel in it, you're going to bake a challah, and then you're going to throw it out. So if you plan to reuse it a few times, then of course it's a regular klima techas and you have to be toivel it. Just because it's not as thick as a pot and you can bend it over doesn't mean that it's not a kli. It's still a kli. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush. He dug up a Mishnah in Kalim, quotes a Mishnah in Kalim, when the Mishnah talks about people would carve out a pumpkin and they would use the pumpkin as a container, as a kli, and it was only fit to be used once. So the Mishnah says that a pumpkin grows from the ground, so it should really have the status of a kli eitz. Kli eitz is mekabel tumah. So the Mishnah says that since this wooden kli, this pumpkin, is only right to be used once, and then you throw it out, so it doesn't have a din of a kli, and it's not mekabel tumah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that the same is true. Not only the Mishnah talks about kabbalas tumah and kelim, there are only four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Odem kelim, ochlam, and mashkin. So the thing has to have a shame kli in order to be mekabel tumah. So just like the Mishnah says that it doesn't have a shame kli because it can only be used once, Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes the same is true here. You only require tefillas kelim if the thing has a shame kli. And then he makes a major jump. So far, that's not bad. So far, he just quoted a Mishnah. Just like when you get to the definition of a kli for Kabbalah's tumah, it has to be a kli that one is able to use it many times. So when you get to Tfilas Kalim, it's not called a kli if you can only use it once. But then he makes a major jump and he says, even though the aluminum foil pans can theoretically be used many times, but since in America, the minhag hamdina is that we don't waste our time, it doesn't pay. Let's say you bake the challah, you bake the kugel in the aluminum pan. So in America, people are rolling in money. They're not so poor. Maybe now the minhag hamdina is going to change. But for many years, the minhag hamdina was when you would use these aluminum foil pans, you use it once and throw it out. Strictly speaking, if you want to, you can wash it out and use it a second time, a third time. You can use it five times. You can be careful, use it many times. So if you plan to reuse it many times, then Rav Moshe says you got to have tefillah kelim even the first time. There's no special excuse that the first time you use any given kli, you don't have to be tefillah kelim. That's not correct. Even the first time you have to use it. Rav Moshe just has a kula. If the minhag hamdina is that you only use it once, then you discard it. So then he claims it has the same status as the Mishnah that says about the pumpkin, that's a kli that's only used once, and that has the status of a wrapper. That's like a banana peel. Peel of the banana is not a kli. It covers the banana, you eat the banana, you throw out the peel. You don't save it to reuse it a second time or a third time. So he says, even though the aluminum foil pan can theoretically be used many times, but since the minigam makam is that you only use it once, so it doesn't have a shame kli. Many wrote shuvas in disagreement with Rav Moshe Feinstein. They thought that the tsushtel was not correct. The comparison to the Mishnah was not correct. Somebody in Gateshead wrote a very strong shuva against Rav Moshe, respectful, but forceful. And he thought that it's not a comparison at all. The Mishnah is talking about a kli which doesn't lend itself to be used many times. Here these things do lend themselves to be used many times over. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. There was a big debate regarding electrical appliances. Let's say you have a toaster or you have some other electrical appliance that you put the food in. They have bread machines.
Sandwich maker.
Let's say you have a sandwich maker and you have to plug it into the wall because it works with electricity. So that's a question, does that require tefillah skin? So some gedolim are of the opinion that since the machine only works if you plug it into the electricity, so that they held that this is considered mechubal lekarka. Mechubal lekarka is dina kekarka, so whatever is mechubal lekarka by definition is not considered a kli. This is a contradiction in terms. Either, in order to be called a kli, has to be dava haptolush. If it's mechubal lekarka, cannot be labeled as a kli. So there was some gedolim. The main one who said this was Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland. He wrote several volumes of Chelkas Yaakov. He was a mechutin of the Minchas Yitzchak. There were certain issues where they disagreed with each other. So Rabbi Breisch in his Chumash thinks that this is considered when you plug an electrical appliance in the wall. His opinion is that that's called mechubal lekarka dina kekarka, and therefore it doesn't have a shame kli. Others thought that was just a joke, a Purim joke. What do you mean mechubal lekarka? Mechubal lekarka is a tree. Mechubal lekarka is a building. That's not called mechubal lekarka. If you have a long cord, so you can move the toaster all over the house. You can move it as far as you want. That's not mechubal lekarka. So that's shaky grounds to be made. Rav Moshe Feinstein does not consider that possibility that the toaster only functions when it's plugged into the wall. And therefore, mechubal lekarka doesn't even raise such a possibility. He thinks that's a joke. Most assume that that's a joke. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, is of the opinion, he wrote that he thinks that a toaster does not require tefillah kelim. So he says you only need tefillah kelim on the forks and the knives and the plate that you're eating the food on, or the glass that you're drinking from, or the pots and the pans where you cook the soup in, or the baking tin where you bake the bread. Those need tefillah kelim. Here, I bake the loaf of bread. So the baking tin need a tefillah kelim. Then when I'm going to eat, let's say I'm going to make toast, and I'm going to eat the toast let's say I'm going to use a knife to put butter on the toast, and I'm going to put the toast on a plate. So the plate needs tefillah kelim if it's a glass plate, okay? And the fork and the knife, if I'm eating the toast with a fork and a knife, need tefillah kelim. But he says, the toaster doesn't really make the bread roi l'achila. The bread was roi l'achila even before I toasted it. When I baked it on the baking tin, it was ready roi l'achila. It just gives it a little different flavor. Instead of being a slice of bread, now it's toasted. So he thinks that that's not considered klei seuda. Many disagreed with Rav Moshe Feinstein on that, and they thought that it's not correct. They thought that the toaster would require tefillah kelim. Shaila is an electrical appliance can get ruined if you toivel in a mikveh. So the truth of the matter is there are different things. The electrical appliance is not going to get ruined unless it has a motor in it. Let's say the toaster doesn't have a motor in it. You can get electrocuted if it still has the water on it when you plug it in. So you just, you toivel your, if you, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that a toaster doesn't need tefillah kelim. Okay, so you follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, you don't need tefillah kelim. Those who are machmer say that a toaster does need tefillah kelim. So you're not going to ruin the toaster, just be toivel it in the mikveh, and then let it dry out for a week. As long as all the water, put it on the radiator, and all the water will evaporate, all the water will go out, that won't be a problem, you won't ruin it. If you have an electrical appliance that has a motor in it, then if you be toivel in the mikveh, you'll be ruining the motor. So that's a question. Does it make sense to say that there's a mitzvah, tefillah kelim? You have to be totally clear and ruin it. That doesn't make sense. So the Pashtus, many are of the opinion, a kli that by being toivel it is going to get ruined. So it's self-understood. The halacha doesn't require that you have to be toivel it. So you can use it without being toivel. And others insist, no. that if you'll be toivelet, you'll ruin it, and you have to be toivelet. So therefore, you have to give it to a non-Jew. Or therefore, you have to be mafkerit. If you're not mafkerit, so then you're mevatel a mitzvah tefilas kelim. You're going to use it without being toivelet. So that's an ongoing debate. The Shulchan Aruch points out that it's not sufficient. Let's say I have a soup pot that has a handle. So the handle doesn't really hold the food, just the pot holds the food. So it's not sufficient just to be toivel of the pot that holds the food. So if you'd base, says in Shulchan Aruch Beferish, Tach Lahatvil, Yidei Hakli. Even the handle also you have to be toivel in the mikveh. There's Mishnayis and mikvois like that. Towards the end of, much of mikvois just discusses whether the mikveh is kosher or not. At the end of mikvois, it talks about Tfilas Kelim. Talks about tefillas kelim that are tumim. It's not talking about tefillas kelim klei suda. That's the last mishnah of Avodah Zarah. But the last prokem in Maseches Mikvah is talking about being tefillas kelim that are tumim. So this is quoted from the Mishnayos. When a person is tefillas kelim, he has to be careful that there shouldn't be any chatzitzas. Sometimes when you buy pots and pans, it still has a sticker on it. So that's the din is min haTorah. It's only a chatzitza if you have rubai umakbid. If robe of the body of the person is being toivel, a robe of the kli has a sticker on it, and the sticker is such that the guy's makpid and he wants to take it off. Sometimes people have a sticker on that says that this is an expensive thing, and they're going to leave the sticker out. They want all the guests to wait in their home to see the sticker. So that's a miut sheino makpid. Miut sheino makpid is not a chatzitza. But if the sticker, the nature of the sticker is such that you're going to remove the sticker, you're not going to leave the sticker on when you're going to use it. So the sticker is really a miut hamakbid. So miut hamakbid, al pi pashtus, constitutes a chatzitza midirabbana. I mean, a Torah is only a chatzitza if it's rubai umakbid. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have a din. Along the lines, not exactly the din of chatzitza. Let's say this is the kli I'm being toivel. And I'm only toivel robe of the kli. Let's say here's the surface of the water. I'm toivel robe of the kli like this, and I leave a little bit out of the water. So you say, well, I was toivel rov, so ruba kakulo. So that says in the Mishnah, it's not, that's not, you don't say ruba kakulo. Ruba kakulo means if I was toivel the whole kli, but there's a chatzitza and a miut. So then chatzitza and a miut doesn't bother me. But if I didn't do bias maim at all, let's say a person is toivel in the mikveh and a woman has long hair, or a man has long hair, whoever has long hair. Or you toivel a kli in the mikveh and it has a handle. So you hold it by the handle outside of the mikveh. So even if you just have a tiny bit of the kli is outside of the mikveh, a tiny bit of one's hair is outside of the mikveh, the whole tefillah is not oila. You have to be toivel of the entire kli in the mikveh. So here there's a discussion in Mishnayos like this. Let's say I have a kli that's tomei. The Mishnayos are talking about tomei kelim, and I want to be toivel to remove the tumah. So let's say I'm holding on to the kli when I'm toivel in the mikveh, so I don't want it to drop. If it's going to drop, it's going to smash. Holding on to the kli, I take it out. The spot where I was holding on to, if I'm holding very tight, so there won't be any bias maim at all. That's worse than chatzitza. Even though it's a miut, but that's worse than chatzitza. Chatzitza means the water is touching the outside of the kli, but the outside of the kli has a sticker on it. So if the sticker is only a miut, less than 50%, so I'm in atar, it's bot lagam the kli, and it's only a chumim midirabbanan. If it's a miut hamakbid, that's a chatzitza. But if you're holding your finger on it, and the water doesn't get to touch it at all. So that's worse than a chatzitza. That's like if I'm toivel a kli, I'm part of the kli outside of the mikveh. Never had a bias maim at all. So the Mishnah says that you have to be careful when you're toivel kelim in a mikveh. You shouldn't hold on to them too tightly with your hands.
So what sticker? You should go back again, take off the sticker and toivel it again?
Yeah, if it had a sticker, you should be toivel it again. There is a Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about a non-Jewish woman who's converting to become Jewish and she happens to be pregnant. So the baby is what we call Hayrasu Shalom Bikdusha V'Leidosa Bikdusha. She became pregnant with the baby when she was not Jewish. And then by the time the baby will be born, the mother will already be Jewish. And the baby will be Jewish. So the Gemara says that when the baby is born, he doesn't have to have his own tefillah in the mikveh. When the mother is toivel in the mikveh, that tefillah satisfies both her need to be toivel and the baby's need to be toivel. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, how is that a good tefillah for the baby? Let the mother's body constitute a chatzitz as far as the baby is concerned. So the Gemara says, you'll tell me that the baby is eino makbid. Baby's very happy that it's inside the mother's body. When it's time to come out, he'll jump out. But the first 9 months, until the 9 months are up, so he's happy to be in the mother's body. So the Gemara says, the fact that it's eino makbid doesn't help over here because it's kulo. The only time makbid plays a role if it's rubo u makbid. In our Torah, it's only chatzitza if the chatzitza is on the robe of the person or the robe of the kli, and the person is makbid that he doesn't want to have that chatzitza. He has ink on his body, he has paint on his body, dirt, and he wants to get it off. But if it's kulai, so even if the person is ain't a makbid, that's a chatzitza. So the Rishonim ask a question over there on that Gemara, and Yivam is dafayim ches. What did the Gemara have to say that if it's kula, you makbe kula, even if it's ain't a makbe, it constitutes a chatzitza? They should have said that the rubai, even though he's ain't a makbe, is a chatzitza, but the rabbanon. But they have to come on to this new din, that if you have a chatzitza on kula, even though you're ain't a makbe, it's a chatzitza, the raisa, should have said it's at least a chatzitza, but the rabbanon, because it's rubai, even if it's ain't a makbe, it's a chatzitza, but the rabbanon. So the Tosfos Yishonim printed on the side of the page, and the Gemara in Yivam is Dafayin Ches suggests a chiddush based on this Gemara that the dinim in the Rabbanim that they said that if you have a chatzitza that's on rubai ve'eino makbid or miut hamakbid constitutes a chatzitza in the Rabbanim, that's only for purposes of being metahir, to be metahir a woman going to mikveh to be metaris labailo, or if you have a person is tomei and he wants to be tovel a mikveh to become tohar. But as far as the tefillah for geiris is concerned, the Gemara there, the context of that discussion is they're talking about a muberish and his gaira, a non-Jewish pregnant woman is converting, and the Gemara is discussing that whether the tefillah and the mikveh is oila for the baby or not. When the baby will be born, there won't be a need to be tovel a baby again. So since we're talking about a tefillah, the shem geiris, so the chumris from the rabbanim and ever institute. So some of the achrayim want to suggest that tefillas kelim that you buy from the non-Jew, according to the Issa V'Heter, that's what the Shach quotes it. The Issa V'Heter says that it's a form of geiris on the pots and pans. If it's a form of geiris, so maybe they never introduced this chumrah of a miut ha-makbid. That's a suggestion, but we really don't paskin like that. We paskin that if you have a miut ha-makbid, so in the Rabbanan it does constitute a chatzitz. And if you're holding on to the kli tightly, you didn't let go loose. Let's say if you hold the forks and knives, so you should really shake them a little bit. Under the water, you should shake it a little bit, so your finger won't be prevented, be asmayim on the kelim. Because if you're holding on tight, it's going to be worse than a chatzitza. Chatzitza, when the dirt is stuck on the kli, so in our Torah, it's only chatzitza, it's rubai makbid. But this is a lack of be asmayim. If you're holding on tightly, it's worse than a problem of chatzitza. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to make sure that you don't hold on too tight.
If someone finds himself in someone else's home, they're not sure whether it's a person totally capable of.
Right. So this is a big discussion in the last 70 years. Rav Kook has, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yakin Kamenetsky. Some argue the point that the mitzvah tefillas kelim is on the owner of the kelim. If I'm a guest in someone else's home, many people keep a kosher home, but they never heard of this siman kufcha. They never graduated from the first chelik yeredet to the second chelik. First chelik yeredet tells you all the laws of kashrus. So that many people keep kosher, but they're not tovel or kelim. So many are of the opinion that it's a mitzvah on the owner of the kelim. And if I'm a guest in this house, it's not my problem. In Shulchan Aruch it says not so though. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kufchav, they quote a Rav Yo. Rav Yo was one of the earlier Bali HaTaisus. Taisus every so often will quote the Rav Yo. Rav Yo sounds like he says beferish that even if I'm a guest in someone else's home and I know that they're not tovel a kelim, so I'm not supposed to eat in the kelim. So Rav Kook has a tshuva where he writes that he thinks that it's difficult. He thinks that the pashtus is it's only a mitzvah on the balakli. It's not a mitzvah let's say my parents are not tovel a kelim and I'm eating in their home. So it's their problem. It's not my problem. They're not tovel a kelim, so it's not my problem. So Rav Kook thought that should have been the din, but the Shulchan Aruch says not so. So he says, but at least by glass we can be made. Then a metal is a real din of tefillas kelim deraisa. So you shouldn't go against what it says in Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Rav Yo. But on glass, he says maybe there's room to be made. More correct is that you should be tovel a kelim.
I just want to know that going back for a second, by the baby not being tefillah, by the pregnant mother after she converts, is that because the baby is a part of the mother, or is that because? Is that a logic behind it, or is there a different logic behind it?
The Gemara has a big dispute whether Uba Yerachim or Uba Lav Yerachim. Do I consider the baby as another limb of the mother? So when the mother was tovel in the mikveh for her conversion, so this is an extra limb. So of course it's good. Or should I assume no Uba Lav Yerachim? and the baby needs his own tefillah in the mikvah. So then the Gemara says, if you hold over Yerechimai, it's like Eva Meivareha. So we understand why the baby, when it's born, doesn't require tefillah in the mikvah again, because it's part of the mother. When the mother was terrible, so the tefillah was good for all of her limbs. But if you hold over Yerechimai, so let the mother's body constitute a chatzitz on the baby. So then the Gemara says, no, the baby likes it there. So it's a chatzitza, but it's ain't a makbid. Then what does it help? The Gemara says, but it's ruba, it's kulay. Kulay, even though it's ain't a makbid, it's still a chatzitza. The Gemara says, no, but since this is the natural growth, that's where the baby grows, so that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. The Gemara says, either way, whether you hold ubi yarechim or belav yarechim, in each case, it's okay. Yeah. If the family is using metal kalim, so in the Shulchan Aruch it says that you really shouldn't eat there. You're not supposed to eat with their kalim. Because not only are they mevatel mitzvah, but you're considered being mevatel mitzvah as well. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, if you're drinking from a glass, say, if you wouldn't have the glass there, so you wouldn't be able to drink midair. But if it's a plate, so basically I'm not using the plate. If they would put the chicken on the table, I could also eat the chicken. So he says that you're not really using their plate. Okay. If I own the plate and I put the chicken on the plate, so I'm using the plate, so you need to feel less kalim on the plate. But if the balabasta gives me a plate with chicken and kugel on it, so I didn't put it on. If I'm gonna take the chicken and put it on the plate, so I'm using the plate. But if they gave me a plate with chicken on it, and I could just as well cut up the chicken on the tablecloth. They don't want me to mess up that. I'm not using their plate. They're using their plate. That's what Moshe suggests. Yeah. Moshe was careful when he would visit by someone else. A woman told me that Moshe used to visit by her all the time in the summertime, and she wanted to be mechabnim with a drink of hot coffee, so he would always ask if she can give it to him in a china mug. So she said, Moshe probably thought that she wasn't Tevel HaKelem. So she always felt very insulted. She was Tevel HaKelem. And Moshe thought that she wasn't, so he said that he likes to drink coffee in a mug. She said he doesn't. She didn't think that was true. She said that she had the impression that he just was afraid that she wasn't Tevel HaKelem. Yeah. Here in Shulchan Aruch they discuss, what if I have, let's say you have a hotel, and you have thousands of forks and knives. So do you require that a Jewish person should be tabled everything in the mikveh? It'll take forever. Or can you have the non-Jewish workers help you? So the non-Jews don't have namanis on an issue of the Jewish religion. So let's say you have a Jew watching, and the non-Jew is taking all the forks and knives, all the pots and pans, and he's tabled all the glasses, tabled everything in the mikveh, and I'm watching that he's doing everything correctly. So the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that is okay. Why? But the guy, when he's table it, the guy doesn't have any of these mitzvahs. So it's probably not considered lishma. We have a rule that a non-Jew who writes a get is not considered ksiva lishma. Whoever doesn't have that mitzvah, the whole institution of gerish and biksav doesn't exist by non-Jews. So therefore, a non-Jew cannot write ksiva lishma. So the same over here. You cannot consider this tvila in the mikveh as a tvila lishma if it's not by a non-Jew who doesn't have the mitzvah tvila skel. So the Shach has a long arichas here in Sivkot Nechavtes and Sivkot Nechavches, and he says that it's not a problem because we assume that Tfilas Kelim does not need Lishma, period. He says, and he's rejecting the opinion of the Bach. The Bach is of the opinion that you need Kavon Lishma when you table the Kelim, and you can't consider the intention, the non-Jew has intention, for the Jewish religion, for the sake of the Jewish people, whatever their mitzvah is, he's doing it for them. So the Bach says that that's not acceptable, because since the non-Jew doesn't have this mitzvah, so if he didn't, he's not able to consider lishma. So the accepted opinion is not like the Bach. I don't understand why, but if you should consider the tefillah kind of like the Yisra Hetta says, you should consider it a form of gerus, so this tefillah should require tefillah lishma. But the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is not so. It's a common practice by a lot of people before Pesach. They buy new glasses, new forks and knives and everything, new pots and pans, and they send the little children to the mikveh to be tovel ol kelim. So if the little children are younger than bar mitzvah, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that a child before bar mitzvah does not have nemanis on the tefilas kelim. See if you dalit. Ema aminim kotna tefilas kelim. A unless the child will be toivel kelim in the presence of an adult. So if a non-Jew will be toivel kelim in the presence of an adult, and the adult is supervising and sees that it was done properly, so the accepted opinion is that that's not a problem. Okay, but to send the child to the mikveh and come back, even on tefilas kelim of glass, where the tefilas kelim is assumed that it's only midrabbanan, also cotton does not have namanis to say that it was toivel kelim. That's what Rebbe Kivega discusses. Maybe we should distinguish. Maybe the cotton should only have no nemanis on Tfilas Kelim, that's the rice, and maybe on Tfilas Kelim, the Rabbanu should have nemanis. Rebbe Kivega on the bottom of the page raises such a question, but we usually assume that's not so. Then they have a whole discussion over here. The Pesach Tshuva has a discussion. Sometimes it's simply very difficult to bring all of the Kelim to a mikveh. There's no kosher mikveh in the neighborhood. So let's say there's tons of snow all over the place. Can you take your forks and your knives and throw them in the snow? Is the snow considered? All the snow is connected. So the two questions. Do you have the right to assume that you have 40 saw snow? Snow, by the time the snow is going to melt, you can have the whole Himalayas. When it's going to melt, there's going to be 5 drops of snow. So you have to have tons and tons and tons of snow. So let's say you have Canada. There's tons of snow all over the place, and all the snow is connected. So you have taka. If you all the snow would melt, you would have aboim so, and it's all sitting there. The snow is not rolling anywhere. Is that acceptable? So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. So the accepted opinion is that you cannot, a person whose stomach cannot be toivel in snow, but maybe tefilas kelim of klei zechuches. That's what some say. Since klei zechuches, the tefilas only be the rabbanon. So maybe you can be mekel on that to be toivel in snow. So that's a big machlokes. There's a room to be mekel. I remember Abaron Soloveitchik is to say over this kula that if it's only klei zechuches, it can be toivel in snow. Most of the pasim do not accept it.
But a klei, not related to snow, what about a klei that is occasionally used for food?
Occasionally used for?
Food. Like, for example, let's say you have scissors that you might, you know, that you generally use for paper, but you might occasionally cut some food.
Yeah. That's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The only time you really need tefilas kelim is if the thing is miyuchad. For let's say, in your home, you have a scissors that you use to cut. You're a tailor. You have a scissors that you use to cut cloth. I come to your home and I'm eating a sandwich. I take your scissors and I cut the sandwich in half to make it easier to eat. Now you're the owner of the scissors. You never designated your scissors for the purpose of cutting food with it. So then for sure there's no problem. You don't need tefilas kelim there. If you're the owner of the scissors and 98% of the time you use it for cutting cloth or paper, and once in a long while you use it for cutting food, so since you're the balabas and you have a right to designate it, 1 or 2% of the time you're going to use it for cutting food, then it says you should have tefilas kelim. But if the owner of the thing designated it for something other than food use, then and I'm not the owner and I want to use it for food, then it says the parents, you don't need tefilas kelim. That's why there's a chiddush. The Darkei Tshuva quotes this idea. Let's say a person lives in New York and he has a restaurant in California. He never eats in his own restaurant. The owners of the restaurant never eat. The restaurant is so far away. It's in California, kosher restaurant. So the pots and the pans and the plates and the forks and the knives and the glasses that he has. So one of these, some Hungarian Achrenim say, it's not called klei suda, because he doesn't plan to eat there. The customer's going to eat. So he says, that's called kelim that you use for business. Yeah, but his business is that it's a restaurant. The Jewish people eat. It's a kosher restaurant. Jewish people eat there. So this is, I think there was a father-in-law and a son-in-law in his Talmud, if I'm not mistaken. Three Achrenim wrote the same thing. He woke up one day on the left side of his bed. So he wrote the Chiddush that if you own a restaurant and you never eat in your own restaurant, so that's called clay business. That's not called clay suda because you never eat there. So he convinced the son-in-law that it was right. The son-in-law convinced his Talmud. You have three different Svarim right like that. The Pashtus says that it's not correct. There are some Kashrus organizations who rely on that. Some prominent Kashrus organizations who rely on that. The Pashtus says that that's not accepted. If a guy owns a restaurant and the restaurant is for Jewish people, so that's called klei suda, even though he never eats in the restaurant, but he knows other Jewish people are going to eat the restaurant. So the Pashto says that you would require tefilas kelim. Okay, take a look. If you have a chance, Siman Kuf Chaf, it's not so long. Run through the whole Shulchan Aruch. I'm sure you'll find some things that we didn't discuss. Okay.